Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as of July 1st, the Hofstra University School of Medicine is accepting applications for summer 2011. Wait, Hofstra has a medical school? Yes, after 2.5 years of planning, Hofstra received accreditation just last month to open New York State's first new general medical school since 1963. They'll accept 40 students in their inaugural class. And in a partnership with the North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System, they've promised a cutting-edge, patient-centered, innovative medical curriculum. So to explain what that actually means in the 21st century and why a new medical school is being introduced now, we have the dean of the Hofstra University School of Medicine, Dr. Lawrence Smith. Dr. Smith, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And why start a medical school now?
Well, I think that we went a very long time in this country without building any new medical schools. As you noted, from probably the mid-70s until after 2000, we didn't build any new medical schools, and the population grew, and we filled our gap by importing ever-increasing numbers of physicians from abroad, while actually denying admission to many qualified U.S. students. So the time was right to correct that gap in our educational system.
You're promising a cutting-edge medical curriculum. What makes a medical curriculum cutting-edge today?
Well, I think we've learned a lot over the years in terms of the best way to teach the medical students and to get them to really learn the skills. So first of all, let me just say we toured a lot of the very, very innovative medical schools around the country and even outside of the country. And with extraordinary generosity, everybody opened their doors to us. So we had the opportunity to pick and choose some of the best ideas from every place else. And that was really fantastic. But I think it's focused on active learning, on putting knowledge into action, to being able to make decisions with your medical knowledge in real situations, to be patient-centered, as you said in your introduction. All of those things require a different way of teaching. The old lecture is probably not the way to go about doing it, but much more active learning and putting the responsibility on the students to educate themselves and really bring themselves up to the level of excellence.
Tell me more about what patient-centered means, because I know, you know, I could take phone calls all day from listeners who complain that medical school may teach technical medical skills to doctors, but it doesn't teach them how to relate to other human beings. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. I think the benchmark is that if you're not effective as a physician, whether you're the smartest person on the block, whether you know all the right answers, but you're not effective in partnering with patients to get the best outcome for them, then you really are a failure. And to get the best outcomes, you have to be a good listener. You have to be a good educator, and you have to be trusted by the patient. Without that, it actually makes little difference whether you know all the right answers. And so, you know, our mantra in this school is going to be knowledge in action to create effective care. And if you can't do that, you're not the kind of doctor we want to graduate.
By the way, a few people are calling us to say that there was another fairly recent new medical school introduced, which is Touro in New York. It's an osteopathic school. Yours is going to be considered what you call an allopathic medical school. What does that term mean?
Those are really historical terms of traditions of medicine when there were lots and lots of non-scientifically based ways of going about thinking of being a doctor. And so allopathic at that time was one tradition, osteopathic was another, and there were many other traditions. The two that have really survived and I think ever increasingly are practicing scientifically grounded evidence-based medicine are osteopathic and allopathic.
And are they different philosophies?
Minimally. I think years ago they were extraordinarily different. I think they're closer and closer with each passing day.
So who do you think should apply to the Hofstra University Medical School?
I think first and foremost it's students who want to be patients' doctors. Although we have a research institute and we'll certainly emphasize scholarship, we're going to graduate people with strong skills in taking care of patients. Secondly, we're a very active learning, problem-based curriculum, so students are going to have to come to school every day prepared to contribute prepared to discuss the problems that they should have been thinking about and working on. And so it's a very active learning as opposed to passive and you cram for the exam, do well, and move on. This is, you have to show up every day in this curriculum. And so it's really going to be looking for adult learners who are anxious to be part of their own education.
It's interesting that you say adult learners, because one of the questions on our comments page right now is from Benjamin from Astoria, and who knows, maybe he'll be one of your first applicants. Benjamin asks, are there any age cutoffs for applying and any undergrad requirements that are a must?
So we've looked at the undergraduate requirements, and we'd be really happy if nationally medical schools rethought the undergraduate requirements, because I think they are not necessarily on target with modern science and modern medical schools. But we will accept all the traditional pre-med requirements as well as expanding other options for students. For instance, one of the classic requirements for medical school is calculus, whereas I think in today's world, a fundamental understanding of statistics and biostatistics would be far more valuable to someone coming to medical school. I'd like to see students having taken biochemistry, and I'm less concerned with organic chemistry, the famous course that everyone had to get through to get into medical school. So we're giving students an option, but we certainly would accept all of the traditional courses.
My guest is Dr. Lawrence Smith. He is the dean of the brand newly accredited Hofstra University School of Medicine, which will start accepting applications for its first class, which, do I have this right, the class will begin in the summer of 2011?
That's right.
Summer semester.
Summer. Well, we'll start August 1st.
Okay. And the partnership that you're planning with the North Shore LIJ Health System, which is one of the area's largest hospital systems. It has, after all the mergers, 15 hospitals across Long Island, Queens, Staten Island, and Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan as well. Are those teaching hospitals today?
So some of them are. About six of them are teaching hospitals. But we're actually looking to use almost all of the hospitals at some point in the medical students' 4 years. And we have some pretty amazing small community hospitals that will give them one taste of medicine, as well as inner city hospitals that will give them a whole different demographic. So we're going to try to use the whole health system to emphasize the diversity of the way patients are cared for and get the students to focus on the fact that communities have unique health needs, and that's part of the role of a physician, is to understand that.
Researchers from George Washington University School of Medicine looked at more than 60,000 graduates of America's 141 medical schools from 1999 to 2001. So the study is a decade old, but they found that when it came to primary care, underserved communities, and workforce diversity, the top-ranked schools were often the least focused and least successful in what the researchers described as the social mission of healthcare. And I wonder if, based on what you've said here today, if you're explicitly aiming to focus on primary care and underserved communities in the curriculum and the culture of your new school.
So I think the answer to that is perhaps a wake-up call that you can focus on more than one thing. I suspect that many of the top schools focusing so heavily on biomedical research didn't intend ever to not graduate people who were responsive to community needs, but because it wasn't prioritized and perhaps because it wasn't praised during in the environment of the school, students chose other pathways. We are certainly going to expose students to rigorous science, but we're going to really emphasize the obligation to take care of patients and to be responsible for whole communities of patients. And so I hope that emphasis ignites a passion in many of the students to go out into the communities and practice medicine and primary care. That's what I am. I'm a primary care physician, so I certainly hope they go into that.
One of our callers, Ben in Carroll Gardens, wants to know if the school will teach nutrition, which many say is undertaught in medical school.
So absolutely, positively, nutrition is critical, as are many of the other things that we used to ignore in medical school. In fact, one of the earliest faculty members we hired has her degree in nutrition, and will be guiding that curriculum.
And we just endured a long fight over health care reform in this country, as you well know. Did the new health care legislation influence any of the planning for this medical school so far, or are you going to have to train in certain ways for doctors to be prepared for, practice in the United States under this legislation?
I think you're right on target. Our goal is to train doctors for the future, not the past. And I'm not sure 100% how this healthcare legislation will play out, but we have specifically put into our guiding principle, so to speak, of the medical school, what we call curriculum drivers. Those are the things that are out of our control that are really decided by external forces. And those are ever fluid. So right now, things from the healthcare reform bill that we are actually using in our curricular design are the emphasis on continuum of care, social responsibility, quality and effectiveness, not being afraid of being scrutinized and having your data out in public, decision-making despite the uncertainties of clinical situations. But those are fluid and can change as the drivers that our society says are important need to be taught in medical school. So we really decided right from the beginning that we weren't the be-all and end-all of what was important, that society telling us which way they wanted the health system to go would dictate many of the things that we would incorporate into the curriculum.
30 seconds left. How can people apply if you've got any newly interested potential applicants out there after this?
So we are using AMCAS, which is the National Association of American Medical Colleges application system, and we are already listed on AMCAS in alphabetical order. I think we're number 20 on the list, and we are accepting applications. Actually, already they're coming through the AMCAS system.
All right. Some issues in medical education through the eyes of Dr. Lawrence Smith, who is going to be the dean. I guess he already is the dean of the newly created and to open next summer Hofstra University School of Medicine. Good luck. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.